hear your favorite NFL legends sharing their stories and insights every week right here on Thursday Night Tailgate with Chris Mascaro and Bob Lazzari. Take it away, guys.
The door is locked. There's no way out.
All right, now back with us here on Thursday Night Tailgate is former Titans defensive back Blaine Bishop. Let me remind you about Blaine's background. He's from Indianapolis, Indiana, played his college ball at Ball State, where he was a walk-on. He was named second-team All-MAC Conference in 1990 and 92, and he was the MAC Conference Defensive Player of the Week, November 9th, 1991, for his performance against Toledo. He was a team captain in 92, and he played in the Senior Bowl and the Blue-Gray game that year. He was inducted into the Ball State Athletics Hall of Fame in 2003. Blaine was an eighth-round draft pick in 1993 by the then-Houston Oilers, now the Tennessee Titans. Played in the league from 93 to 2002. All but 1 year was with the Oilers / Titans. He played his final season in Philadelphia with the Eagles. He was named to the Pro Bowl 4 times. Over the course of his NFL career, he had 738 tackles, 15 and a half sacks, 5 interceptions, one of which he returned for a touchdown. And folks, Blaine first joined us here on the show on episode number 3, way back on October 6th of 2011. And we are very excited he is back with us again tonight here on Thursday Night Tailgate. Hey, Blaine, Chris, and Bob, thanks for coming on the show.
Hey, man, how you guys doing, man? I appreciate the great introduction there.
You're welcome.
Great to have you.
Blaine, I want to start by going back to your college days at Ball State. What or who got you to walk on to play football there?
That is, that's pretty remarkable. I would say you're talking to him. I have to give you the backdrop story of that. And that is, I went to a Division II school my freshman year. I went to a private Catholic high school in Indianapolis called Cathedral High School. A lot of players played in the National Football League. Actually still currently today. I was a running back / cornerback, and everybody kept telling me I was really small after I made, all the honors in high school. And so, went with a couple other guys, that I went to high school with. We went to St. Joseph's College in Rensselaer, Indiana. And wow. I wouldn't have been able to tell you where Rensselaer, Indiana was, but it was a private Catholic university. And it is closed now for, I think, 4 years. It didn't exist. So I went there and, did fairly well, made Division II All-American, make the story short. And then I went back to my high school coach, who's the president of the school, asked me whether I was a Division I prospect now. And he said, absolutely. I wanted to really ask him what changed in 6 months, but I didn't. So, he said, you go to Indiana State. Didn't have a really good program at the time, naturally. And he said, you go to Ball State, you can start right away. You can go to, IU, and you probably have to wait your turn. So I said, call Ball State right now. He picked up the phone, looked up, the number on one of his, cards, business cards there that he had in the, portfolio, and boom, there you have it. That's how I walked on. And then I started from the time I got there after the rules were different there. So I had to sit out a year, but I got to practice. So I knew I was going to be starting because coaches told me, and I said, well, who's getting benched? And they was like, you don't worry about that. We'll take care of that. I know that kind of sounds like, maybe a little arrogant, but at the time I was so driven and so determined to prove only that I could play Division I football. That was it. That was the dream. My dream was I wanted to go to Notre Dame. That I was too small growing up in Indiana, Indianapolis, and then going to a private cathedral fighting Irish. I think that's where I wanted to go, and I probably would have never touched the field.
When you get drafted by the Oilers, and when you get there, you have sort of a who's who on that coaching staff. I mean, the head coach was Jack Pardee. Kevin Gilbride's there as the offensive coordinator. Buddy Ryan was the defensive coordinator. Greg Williams is there as a special teams coach. What was it like for you going from Ball State to suddenly being coached by Buddy Ryan?
Boy, but an eye opener, that is for sure. I went in there, naturally, I played cornerback. I don't know if you guys knew that in college and at Ball State. And that's what I was playing there at with the Oilers initially. And a couple guys got injured, and next thing you know, I'm at safety. And then I'm playing in the 46 defense. So I go from playing corner to, you know, half the time I'm a linebacker, half the time I'm a nickel back, and the other time I'm a third of the time I'm a safety. So it was really interesting and kind of intriguing that my skill sets actually fit all of those things. I just had to learn how to play the kind of the linebacker 46 position in that scheme and how to read blocks and everything else. So that was a tough task for me, being that you were a skilled guy on the perimeter and then doing that. But everything else fit really easy. And his defense was really complex. So I was a really quick thinker, processed information pretty fast, and even as a young player at the time. So all those things benefited me. And then next thing you know, the starter got injured, Bubba McDowell, just now is the named head coach at Prairie View. And then after that, it kind of got my first start Christmas Day as a starter. I played special teams to that point in time. I was kind of a, what's it called, nickel dime guy. You come in, you know, be the fourth, fifth guy, and take their, you know, fifth, sixth guy. And then got my shot in my first career start versus the 49ers on Christmas Day. Got a sack called fumble on Steve Young. So that was kind of the beginning of my ride there with the organization.
And Blaine, coming in as a rookie, I mean, the Oilers offense, I mean, Warren Moon's the quarterback, Ernest Givens, Webster Slaughter, Haywood Jeffries, a wide receiver. What was it like for you as a rookie trying to make a name for yourself, trying to cover those guys?
Yeah, that was tough there, especially Warren Moon, still today, threw the, you know, best ball I've ever seen in my life. I think would whistle by my ear all the time. But it gave me great practice. That's kind of how I looked at it. From the time we started mini camps, as they called it then, not OTAs, I learned that, you know, I didn't need to be as much in the weight room. I need to be more, you know, limber and get into some, you know, deep yoga, stretching and all that. So after my first mini camp and then coming back for training camp, my actual goal was, at that time, was just to make the practice squad. I thought I was doing fairly well, but I needed to get better at just, you know, moving with receivers laterally, not vertically, but laterally. So in that run and shoot, I was always in the slot going against Givens. And that year was the year we had Webster Slaughter in the slot as well, who both of those guys ran exceptional routes. And that really helped me out, and I got better each and every day. Every day I got better, and they just, my confidence grew at the time, and then, and you know, eventually I was an aggressive natured, you know, instinctive player. I think I was out to prove something, and at every level, that's kind of what I've done, and I've excelled at it. And, eventually I adapted to the game, and then the game started slowing down for me. So it was really unique. A lot of great players around me helped me out, but it was definitely an eye-opener. You know, you have to get over the aha moment after the first practice, and then it's time to move on, and now you have arrived. If you don't accept that part of it and move on, you'll be stuck there for a while, a lot longer than you think.
Bob, questions for Blaine?
Blaine, it's great to have you on the show. And more about that defense when you came in the league. You know, they had guys like McDowell. We've talked to Dishman many times, Marcus Robertson. You walked in on those guys. Robertson was kind of a younger guy, but those guys had 16 picks out of the 26 on that defense. These were studs you were playing with. Did any of those guys have a huge impact on you as far as your entrance to the NFL, or was it somebody else on that defense?
Actually, I would say all those guys kind of contributed a little bit. You know, I could name one other guy, Steve Jackson. He was from Houston, but he went to Purdue. He definitely helped me out along the way. And some of the things they taught me just on really live action. I mean, even if as a special teamer, they would be the double gunner and, you know, they would just bury me. And I'm trying to figure out, like, how do I beat two people? And so Dishman would be like, or Steve Jackson would be like, hey, just attack one guy. attack one guy, just think you're going against one guy, and then that will help you, and then you're just a foot race with the next guy. You know, so it was little bitty things like that. I would have them critique me when we were watching film. I remember Dish, in the preseason, he was telling me, you know, to use my feet and not necessarily my physicality when I was covering, because I was getting a little too aggressive. So had all the, you know, aggressive things going on. And then I had, Buddy Ryan on my behind every day. He was relentless. I wasn't the only guy, but initially. And then I came in another defensive guy, Michael Barrow from the U. So we were the two defensive guys that were drafted. And he said he not only drafted for our talent and our toughness, but also for what's set on top of our necks. And I was our head as football players. So all those things kind of played a part in that success and with their help.
And Blaine, every guy we talked to that played, in the 90s or whatever, it's totally different. Now, you guys actually had some very, very physical practices back then. There was more of an emphasis on fundamentals, tackling, wrapping up. We don't see much of it anymore. I'm sure with Buddy Ryan, you guys were sticklers on a lot of that stuff. But it's such a physical game now, Blaine. They don't wrap. It's kind of like contact is the way they tackle. When you're watching the game these days, does it drive you a little crazy?
Well, that's an understatement. I laugh all the time because I'm jumping up and down like, what are you? You can give him a great body blow, but he can spin around and not know where he's at. He's not going to go down. These guys are too big, too strong, too athletic. So I was really big on just tackling guys. You're not going to get a big hit on everybody, especially in this day and age. But I was always big on tackling and wrapping up. So you're not going to get these guys down. I don't know why guys keep doing that. Even you're not going to get fined for that. So, that's totally different. And a lot of it has to do with what you're kind of mentioning is the practices are a little different, you know, which they can maintain their bodies a lot longer. But, you know, you have to have coaching that is teaching fundamentals daily, even once you're in the National Football League. And I think really for me, I had some great fundamental coaches along the way. From had Rod Perry. I love that I caught the tail end of some really elite, guys. And then I caught, in the third, fourth year, Jerry Gray, who was an elite player, still coaching today in secondary with the Packers. The list kind of goes on, but they all helped bring different things to my game. Gary Brown. So it was an interesting time, but for me, it was perfect for what I needed in my development as a player. And no one was going to outwork me, and no one was going to be more physical, and no one's going to be more prepared than I was going to be. And even as I became a second, third year guy, I was putting in work and learning how to study opponents, study your matchup, make sure you understand your matchup, and then how to defeat and have a counter move to your matchup. So all those veteran guys taught me that as a young player. I don't think that happens today. At least I don't think it does anyway. I don't know that for sure, but yeah.
So you're talking about all the film watching and the studying. You look back at your game log, your rookie season, you get your first pick in week 14 at home against the Falcons. Bobby Hebert actually threw 6 interceptions in that game. Did you guys pick up on something that he was doing that allowed you guys, for you to get your first pick, but 5 other guys to get one too?
Yeah, it was kind of, there's a big adage, saying that, the picks come in bunches, and I think that was it. I mean, they ran somewhat of the running shoot. So I think, I don't know who their offensive coordinator was at the time, but I think we understood what we had to do going into that game and to force them to run certain routes based off our coverages that we're putting in, if I can recall correctly. But it kind of snowballed, but they had some, I forgot all about that. They had some elite talent. Bobby threw around. I didn't know he threw 6 picks in that game.
Sure. 6 interceptions.
Wow.
Yeah. Well, he does radio like I do. So I'm gonna have to remind him of that. We have him when I have him on, when we play the Falcons or New Orleans or one of the teams he played for.
Blaine, that first year, you guys got off to kind of a rough start. You start out the season 1-4, but then you guys run off 11 straight wins to finish 12-4 and win the AFC Central. As a rookie, you concerned about the rough start being 1-4? And then what was it like riding the wave of 11 straight wins?
Well, as a rookie, my head was spinning. So I was more concerned with, dang, man, how am I going to make it through this game and run down on special teams and contribute as best I could. So at that time, if Greg Williams was a special team coach, he developed a lot of trust in me that I was going to get it done. So I was always going against the best special teamer. You know, start off with 1-4 start. Got to remember going into that season, which was my first, that the Oilers at the time lost to Buffalo Bills after they gave up, I don't know, 28 or 35 point lead in the playoffs. So right. They just came in and kept everything the same on offense, and they just changed the defense with, you know, Buddy Ryan. So as I said earlier a little bit and hinted around that, it was a very complex defense. They were used to playing like just a staple 4-3, you know, cover 3 type scheme. And this was complex. Every time somebody moved, there was an adjustment. And I'm talking about more than just 1 or 2 players. The whole scheme would change. And at that time, which is crazy, I got to play with Wilbur Marshall. He was on our team at that time. And so he was helping all the guys figure out what all the adjustments were at the time. And until you get in games, do you really know all the adjustments? You can go over practice, even in preseason at that time. And it just wasn't happening. Me being a backup at that time, not being in game, was a little bit different. But that time I was really more worried about, if I get my opportunity, make sure I understand what I need to do early in the season. And I did a fairly good job of that in the preseason. But, you know, everything changes once it becomes regular season, kind of goes to a whole nother level. And he had what they call AFC sheets, and you had to memorize them every week. So every time he had 4 fingers that he would point, 1, 2, 3, or 4. And then with that, you had to know all the formations and adjustments to that call. And it was called AFC sheet, but it had AFC, BTF, 46, 46 BTF. BTF was blitz the formation. So when he put the BTF behind it, you knew we were going to be blitzing in some form or fashion. AFC was just kind of a basic formation. Whenever they line up one of their pro sets that we would run up, you know, nothing blitzing. It was just everybody had gap control. So that's what was confusing for a lot of guys and what their responsibilities were. And slowly but surely, guys start getting it in the regular season. And once we got it, because they had the talent. I mean, we had William Fuller, Sean Jones, Ray Childress, Glenn Montgomery, D-line. We had Wilbur Marshall, Lamar Latham, Al Smith, Michael Barrow, Eddie Robinson, Chris Dishman, Daryl Lewis, Bubba McDowell, Marcus Robinson. Even after Marcus tore his ACL, we brought in Chuck Cecil. He got half of a season in. I mean, I played with some legendary guys that are really underrated, but really we had a solid group of players that time. Then we were deep everywhere.
Blaine, winning that division earned you guys an opportunity to go play Joe Montana and the Chiefs in the playoffs. What was it like as a rookie facing Montana in the postseason?
Yeah, it was pretty remarkable. You know, the team was built to win the AFC Central, and you had to take down at that time the Steelers, who were the king of the hill. And they finally got over that hurdle two years in a row. And then, you know, I didn't get my first start, as I said, till Christmas Day. So I got my first start late in the season as the starting safety. So it was perfect for me in that I got, you know, 2 or 3 games under my belt, and the game was starting to slow down for me. And I was starting to really start moving around a lot faster. I tell you, my first game, well, maybe my second game, you know, 2 guys were running by me. I couldn't even told you their jersey numbers. And then seriously. And then as things start to, it took about 3 games where I really felt like, okay, this is back like at Ball State, really. And I think that's the difference within why you see some small school guys, if you want to give it that term, not football powers, to being at a football powerhouse. is that the game, the speed of the game sometimes doesn't slow down for some other guys for whatever reason. And that really became, it stood out to me throughout the time. So then my confidence, just as I was saying earlier, just kept building. And I said, now I'm about to dominate. And there was no question in my mind. And I'm talking about a guy from Ball State who got there saying, man, I want to make the practice squad. Now I'm going to dominate within one season. So going against Joe Montana was pretty cool. I thought it was awesome, but I wanted to take him down that time. And he was the best of the best. He was Tom Brady back then. And so, yeah, Joe Montana, man, he was a tough son of a gun. I thought we knocked him out of the game. I couldn't believe he came out of halftime. We dominated and hit him so many times. I couldn't believe it. And he came out there, and in the second half, he just started slinging it around like nothing. It was easy to him, and I couldn't believe it. And it was still a close game, and they won at the end, but that was probably 2000 team with the Titans, and that team right there were my probably two best teams I ever owned. Notice I didn't mention the team that went to the Super Bowl. It was a really good team, but we grew as the season went along. Those teams going into the season, we knew we were good, and we knew we were going to the Super Bowl. And didn't happen. Yeah. Ruined it. Yeah.
Bob, more for Blaine?
Yeah, Blaine, I just wanted to ask you about your memories of the Astrodome. You know, I grew up in the 70s watching baseball and football on TV. You know, you saw Nolan Ryan, you saw Bump Phillips, Earl Campbell. The place always looked so dark on TV. And, you know, but I love talking to people who played parts of their career there. Give me your memories of it, and what was it like making the transition to Tennessee in 97?
Yeah, it was tough sledding there. It was like playing on concrete, just, you know, lay some turf down like you're on a putt-putt field there. But, you know, back then it was the Love You Blue and the Astrodome and everything else. So, you know, I was just happy to be in the league. Very fortunate that I did not have to play on that the majority of my career. I was so thankful once I got to Tennessee and we played on grass. I really, you know, man, because I know some guys where their knees, you know, and I'm a young guy, so it didn't really make a difference at that time to me. But, man, I firmly believe I had a couple scopes on my knee just because I played on that turf, because it was a total different deal once we got here to Tennessee. So, yeah, it was a time, you know, it was an interesting time in that, you know, Mr. Adams, the late Mr. Adams, wanted a new stadium be built, and I just think they didn't want to build it for him. So he moved. And that was unfortunate because, you know, Houston's a great city, and you know, eventually they got them a new stadium, new owner, and built a new stadium and new team. So everything worked out, I guess, according to their eyes. And oh, by the way, you mentioned playing Joe Montana. That was the only time I got to play against him. At that season, I got to play against Elway, Montana, and Marino, and they all were so different. Elway had the big arm. He would make throws, throwing across his body. Coach would say, "You're not going to do it." And he did it. Dan Marino's release was the quickest I'd ever seen. And he was also as loud as a linebacker on offense. I felt like I could hear him make calls in the huddle. He was that loud. He was just in control of the entire offense. And Joe Montana, he was just silky smooth. Nothing riled him. The coolest customer you could ever see. I mean, I mean, the way he went about his business, you would have never known that he was just that good until you play him. He just carved you up like he knew everything you're going to do. And I think that's what happened with him. You know, that first half were kind of dominating them. They had Marcus Allen, too, as well, as the older players that had been in the league a long time. And, you know, we were like guys flying in the night, and then once they figured it out, they start carving us up a little bit, and it was tough for us to kind of stop them from having big plays.
And finally, Blaine, any guy like yourself that played 10 years in the league, you know, it's a lot of bumps and bruises, and, you know, without getting into your personal health situation, there must be days when you wake up now and you say to yourself first right off the bat, yeah, I played 10 years in the NFL.
Well, I try to not think about that when I wake up and I don't feel so good.
Yeah, yeah.
Well, for me, I think I was really blessed. I really took care of my body because I knew I was really putting it through a lot of rough sled in there down the road. So I think that benefited me a lot. Some of his genes too, but for me right now, at 51, I'm not doing, you know, so bad. So I feel like I'm doing pretty good. I can still get up, go jog, run, go play basketball, do a radio show. So, and I'm talking, and by the way, that's 11 surgeries.
But oh, wow.
But in football terms, I know in the regular world, it's a little different, but I had all scopes and the only thing that was legit that was, is I had a shoulder reconstruction twice. Now, everything is a surgery, but I had, two scopes on my knee for lateral meniscus, two for bone spurs on my ankle, or I guess a serious one. I had a plate and six screws put in my forearm. I broke my forearm. Yeah, so I did that in the game. Didn't even know it in 97 until the guy was standing next to me in overtime. Said, hey, man, what's that knot on your arm? A trainer. I said, oh, no, I just got bruised. So I don't even know how long I played with. Dismissed the game, then came back, played. Now those guys missed about 7-8 games. I laughed at that. Like, wow, man. I broke my finger wrist. So, yeah, I played with a cast on for 3 years in a row. So when I say that, I know that's not in the normal world, but in the football NFL world, that's not really that. The only one that really is my shoulder. I need a shoulder replacement from all that banging I was doing. It probably playing linebacker half the time at 5'9", so and at 46 defense. But everything else is pretty good. I mean, yeah, there are days I feel stiff or things of that nature. I can definitely tell you when it's going to rain outside. That's for sure. But. Yeah, considering, I mean, if a lot of people still say, oh, mate, and I don't work out like hard or anything like that. I do enough to look like I could, you know, stay in shape. But I'm not, I look like I can go play, but I'm not able to do anything like that. I'll fall apart. There's no way. So I look the part like I'm in good shape, but I'm really just doing a lot of stretching, light lifting. yoga classes and stuff like that and hot yoga, let's say that, just trying to hang on there and stay in shape and eat right too as well. So yeah. All those things, which I did as a player too. So I think it's kind of benefit me in the long run. We'll see, here over the next 10 years and see where I'm at. But right now, not too bad.
Playing just a couple more before we let you go. And one of the things that we wanted to ask defensive backs is, When the call comes in to get into a prevent defense, as a fan, it drives us crazy because, the old saying, prevent defense prevents you from winning. Do you guys get frustrated? like why are we playing, this off defense, letting these guys run down the field, score a touchdown real quick and get these momentum back in the game? Does it make sense to you why you're in a prevent defense, or does it frustrate you?
Well, I think, it depends on the situation. And one is you're playing against the clock. So I'm not a big fan of it. When I played, our coach, Greg Williams, was an attack guy. So we still ran our defense, or we ran some form of a prevent, but it wasn't prevent. We were still attacking. I would say it's more of a cover two scheme with a robber. So, you had to really earn it. Now you're going to be able to move the ball, but you're going to have to dink and dunk us all the way down. You're not going to have big plays. The game was different then too, where they didn't pass as much as they do what we did, the Oilers did at the time, but the Titans weren't big passers. So, they had Eddie George when I was there. And, but it gets frustrating because if you're playing against the clock, then if you can afford, if you're up by, more than, 7 or 8, that they're trying to come back from. So I think it's okay. But if you're in a game and it's a 7-point game, and if they score and drive up, they score, it's a tie. I think you got to continue to play your defense. So it's a cat and mouse game when you're in this level, but in the NFL, the best of the best, but because it makes players play hesitant and not to get beat Meanwhile, you end up not playing as aggressive.
Right.
So it's frustrating, but it's a catch 22. You got to feel through it as a coordinator. But I would probably stick with my defense. Now that they play all this passing game that they do now, you're playing those style of defenses anyway. So why not just keep doing them?
Right. That's what we say as fans.
Yeah. Yeah.
Blaine, let our listeners know how they can listen to your show.
Oh, yeah. I'm on here in Nashville, Tennessee, on 104.5 The Zone, Blaine and Mickey Show from 1 to 3. You can reach me on Twitter, BBishop23, Instagram, I guess, BlaineBishop23. And that's about it.
Well, Blaine, we can't thank you enough for being generous with your time tonight and coming back and being a part of the show. We hope you'll come back and do it again sometime.
A lot of fun.
Oh, yeah. I'll, at that time, I'll be, 258? I don't know.
Yeah, much. We got to get you back much sooner next time. 10 years was a long time.
Always fun, guys, man. I appreciate it.
Thank you, Blaine.
All the best to you and your family. Catch up soon.
All right. Same to you guys.
See you, Blaine.
Take care. Bye-bye.
Wow, that's a great Blaine Bishop. What a fun guest he was, Bob. I love the stories. And again, you know, one of the themes of the night is in enthusiasm, right? You get the positivity, the enthusiasm, the great stories. Loved it.
Yeah, in that era where so many great players he played with and against, as you mentioned, Chris, and all I kept thinking was, you know, his shoulder and the shoulder replacement need for and all that. It's because he tackled correctly, Chris. Like,
right.
You know, he wrapped and he tacked his shoulder pads, right? I mean, but, he was a great player. I mean, like I said, once he got established, man, you know, he didn't miss any games. And like our buddy Chris Dishman, and he had a lot of great guys there as tutors, and it surely paid off.
All right, when Bob and I come back, we'll be turning on our spotlight on the positive here, which players are out there doing great things in their communities, and then we'll wrap up the show on the other side of this real quick station break.